What's going on, guys? It's your boy bringing you something from the Olds and Park Chronicles today. I got a great story for you guys today. Italia won yesterday, Italy. Today, England plays Denmark. And Hootie, the whole platform, even when I was on the John and Gene show, and Gene got a ton of UK and Europe fans, as does John, you know, Albanian. But because through Gene, I got such a huge following in the UK, I wanted to root against him because my friend's from, is Danish, and, you know, but my boys are in England, and I got real close with a bunch of these guys that I met through Gene, and now, like, we can't wait for Italy to play England. So today, we're rooting for England, 3 o'clock our time, 8 o'clock their time, they're 5 hours ahead, so let's go England. Italy was, I shut my phone off. I went in Brooklyn yesterday in Bushwick in this beautiful cafe. Had a great time watching the show, watching the soccer game. And, yeah, I guess I think that's where I'm going to watch it, you know, the Euro Cup final. That's it. I think that's where I'm going. So, listen, Spain was tough, but we were the favorites. We won, and that's how it worked out. So today, we're going to talk about the guy in my crew who was a captain. He wasn't my captain, but he was a captain in the Gambino crime family. And he was the second largest earner. Well, they were probably, I can't figure out who earned more in my neighborhood. Now, we're not so legitimate. These guys didn't have legitimate businesses. Alphonse Trucchio, Ronnie One-Arm's son. We called him Pickle. A lot of people don't know. Al really is the only guy that don't have an AKA. Even when, you know, picked up on the indictment. But we all called him Pickle because of his fingers. It was a whole big thing going back. Guy gave him a name one time playing actually a Joker poker machine that he owned. We were fucking around playing poker and someone seen his finger. Everybody gets a nickname a real weird way. I'll explain. I'll get into that story on another day on nicknames. But yeah, and you know, a lot of people out there that talk shit, they can look up the 127-man indictment. I think I'm either 19 or 11 of the best nicknames in Cosa Nostra, Hootie. So you should go look that up. That's knowledge that you could get right on the computer for the people that don't think, you know, Hootie was ever involved in anything. I wish that Hootie wasn't involved in anything. Believe me. So now, Al made money off of the jump, right? But Ronnie Giolenzo, he struggled. He was beating bookmakers, shaking guys down in his crew, shaking guys down in the neighborhood. He was a tough guy, Ronnie G. You can't put that past him. And I think that's why he loved Gene so much, because Gene was a tough guy. Gene didn't play around. Gene went after you. You know what? I'll tell you the stories. If you owed him $85 for a bag of weed or an ounce of pot, he was going to stab you for it. That's what he was about. And I think that's why Ronnie liked Gene more than he liked his own kids. So these were the two guys that were earning. And I think Al might have had him beat, because, see, everybody talks about Ronnie's $2 million house. Al was building the same one. Al had a $1.8 million house in Belmore that people don't know about. Al sold a $1 million four-family. It was really a three-family, like, corner fucking property in Howard Beach. Like, you know, for, I think it was $850. So a lot of these people out there don't realize or understand the magnitude of the money that this man is earning. Like, I hear people talking today about this guy being broke. If he made $37,000 on a Tuesday night at a game, he never even put away. He went away for 10 months, and he complained. His father was calling him a crybaby about the 10 months. When he was away, I was picking up money from him. I wasn't earning from him, but I was out there getting money from him. But his guys and a guy that was with his father originally wanted to be with him, because the younger guys, like me, him, Rock, just as the younger guys in Ronnie's crew, like Gene was setting up the new modern day Cosa Nostra, those guys wanted to be with us. So this guy that was with his father came aboard with us, got us all legitimate guys. I shouldn't say us because I didn't make a penny. They didn't want me involved in this game at all. For some reason, these legitimate guys were scared of me, because I was known as the guy that always showed up when things had to get done. So I had that reputation. People can think and say what they want today. You can't change history. So they kind of wanted to keep me away from the legitimate guys. It kind of got them a little jittery, a little jumpy if I showed up. So they put these 12 guys together, and like 9 of them would show up on a Tuesday, and they would rotate 2 or 3, but always 9 guys. And it was a hold'em game. And that game cut $37,000 on a Tuesday night. See, in this life, in our life, there was no such thing as Sunday to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Every day was Friday night to us. Didn't make a difference what day of the week it is, what hour, nothing. It every day is Friday. We do what we want, when we wanted. It didn't matter. So he would cut that game, and we're going to get back to the game, but I'm going to show you how people can't tell me he's broke, because that game would cut $37,000. Now, $7,000 was tip money for the two dealers that worked that game. They're supposed to whack up $3,500, right? The $30,000 goes to the guy running the game with the food towards the apartment. He walked away with $30,000. So there was probably more, because the rent, it was always a fine. It was never a social club. It was always a nice apartment in a nice area, because these were guys that owned, one guy owned a grocery business, a chain of grocery stores. Another guy owned a chain of fruit and vegetable business. I mean, these were real money guys that never brought cash. This was genius what they came up with. And genius. I'm going to break it down with you how he would operate first. So say the $37,000. Now, he would take the $30,000. He'd give $1,000 to one dealer, $1,000 to the other. Throw Mike $2,500, told Tony $2,500. Then we'd go out, and the bottle service would come to $3,000. Because back then, nobody was doing bottle services. Let's just get this straight. These $100,000 tabs that you see in bottle service, the biggest bottle service tab you've ever seen, I seen it, was $4,500 in a club. That's when a bottle of Grey Goose or Kettle One was $700. A bottle of scotch was $900. And you couldn't drink that much alcohol, no matter how many guys we had. Most of the time, we even left it there. Was a $4,500 bill. The waitress was beautiful. And that's the only time I ever seen Al pick up the bill. That's because the girl was smoking hot. But he would turn around, and the bill would be $1,100. And the $2,500 that he gave Mike and Tony, he'd make them pay for the bottle service. $30,000, that's gone. That's, believe me, rolled up and marks the $10,000 on them, rubber band, and put away. Nobody would know where it went. I told you, and I tell you the story, his first million, I counted, I think, the first $300,000 or $400,000 with him. Couldn't even tell you where he put it, where it went. It wasn't my business then. When you're in the life, you're not looking at that and you're not asking that. But he was just insane with money. And this is how a man like that can't be broke. Can't be. You're turning around and making these guys pick up $1,100. And that was a lot of money for bottle service back then. You know, we're talking, you know, it was a long time ago. Like I said, I've seen, you know, $4,500 bottle services. I mean, we've had a Louis the 13th. I mean, but back then, I think like Louis the 13th was $3,500. You might have got it at a bar for $5,000. And most of the time, you're doing that if you're with, maybe we're with the crew from the Bronx, because we were all over. I can keep telling you, we were the princes of the city. Or if we were with the crew from Canarsie, and there was guys that were going to really drink the cognac, then we'd get a $5,000 bottle of, you know, Louis the 13th, you know? But that was very rare. I think I've seen it like twice. I'm not, you know, and Chris Stalin champagne, I've never seen. We never did that. I think one time for his birthday, Trump Marina gave us 50 bottles of Dom Perignon. He didn't order it. He didn't ask for it. We booked it. He was born around the holidays. Right after the holiday, we booked the room he books the room for 3 days. He spends 24 hours. That's it. He does his gambling, whatever he needs to do. So when we got into the room, it was decked out. I mean, this was a super suite. We used to all stay in junior suites. He was like always the presidential suite. So we all would go to his room. Because he had OCD, so we'd move things around. He fucking wrecked the room, like just put up clothes everywhere. And when we got in there, there was 50 bottles, because I had some legitimate guys with me. We had a big crew that night. And they were like, this is insane. They counted the bottles. They're like, do you realize there's 50 bottles of Dom Perignon in this room? I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's the way we gamble in Atlantic City, you know? And back then, I don't know if they do it today, we didn't have credit. There was no credit cards. You put money down on the room for, and you know, incidentals or anything that happened. There was one time someone got stabbed and bled all over the room, and they paid for the carpets, to paint the wall, you know, things got paid for. So they were never worried about that on the Trump properties, the Taj, the Trump Marina, I think the show was next to the Taj. There was one more, but the Trump Marina, that's where we were at. It was away from the strip, it was by the water, and it had everything we wanted. So that was the only time champagne ever came into play. So this is the kind of money you're talking about this guy's got. Okay, 50 bottles comp, and everything's comp, but you're walking in to 50 bottles of Dom Perignon that's not even going to get cracked open. They're going to go in the garbage. Well, maybe whoever we brought with us is going to take it with them. But he had OCD. He'd lock everybody out of the room and don't let anybody take anything. He'd rather throw it in the garbage than let you take something home. So who knows what happened to the 50 bottles. So Tuesday night, that game, he walked away with 30 grand. His end. Now, in a nine-man table, when you pay Texas Hold'em, there's one winner that leaves and the other winner that stays. The house and one person. The other eight guys go home either even, losing a few, or losing a lot. Now, the magic was they started this game without him. And what they did, no money. These are legitimate guys. These aren't street guys. This is probably the first time you're ever going to hear this. You would go in a book. Everybody starts with 5,000. Everybody's initials, 5,000, initial next to it. That's what they start with. You give that to them. They needed more. Mikey, get them another 5,000. Give Johnny another 5,000. Give Sammy 8,000. And you give it out. Now, the next day, Hootie would get the call. The collection, not the payout. I'd get the list, the names, and I'd go to these guys, whatever they had, you know, different stores they would be at on that Wednesday or whatever, and I would go to their business, and they would pay. Who lost 40,000? Who lost 50,000? Who lost? But that money would go to the guys that won, and to the house. Usually, like I said, there was one big winner, and all the guys won a few, or lost big, and then the house would make 30 grand. That was usually the cut for the night, because usually at that mark they would stop taking. Because, you know, we used to call them the octopus. They've been taking it in, you know, the cut, you know. So, you, as long as there was 30 grand for the house and the rent, I mean, catered the best food. Probably some nights might give, came from Rails, might have sent dishes. You don't even know. Dishes were the best, top notch. Sometimes it went in the garbage. Guys would have a few drinks and didn't even want to eat. There was always Johnny Blue there. You know, guys like to drink Johnny Blue, even if they're Scotch drinkers, but, you know, they like the idea to have Blue there. So, that's Tuesday. That's a Tuesday night. This is, he comes home from jail, and that's handed to him. Here you go. On top of his bookmaking operation, never skipped a beat. That's how I got involved in my pharmaceutical ring, because that guy robbed him for 100-something thousand on a bookmaking charge, and we got it back on a pharmaceutical side, where it almost all got paid back right before I got pinched in a year. He was home. He already got most of his money back, and he wanted nothing to do with the drugs. I wanted to keep it going. Who the fuck don't want to make $20,000 a week, right? $15,000 a week. You know, it could have been even more if it kept going, but we got pinched. I got pinched. I went to jail on that. And, you know, of course, as soon as you get pinched, nobody talks to you. You're bad. You're no good. You know, that's where all the stories start. Whatever. I'm no good because I'm telling this podcast. I have guys that did things that they're no good. So I really could care less either way. So now he has guys that come to him like Vinny and say, I got a Joker Poker business. Now, Vinny's not straightened out yet. I think he's actually on the list with the nicknames. He's not straightened out yet, but let me bring this to Al. He's Ronnie's son, right? So you're thinking he's got this power because his father's a powerhouse. Everybody thinks it's Ronnie's money. Ronnie built the business. Ronnie built nothing. All Ronnie did was complain. I can tell you because I got on an airplane for his first case. He had to give the lawyer $250,000 cash for his trial, his first trial that he booked. So Al had to pay that, and he made Al pay that. And where Al's mistake was, that was kind of towards the end because Ronnie never came home after that. He got 20 on that, then life on another, doing a 1-3 on a case with us. So, but that's where it opened Ronnie's eyes, that this guy just walked in and paid $250,000 for his lawyer. What kind of fucking money you got? You know, but he always complained. He's got all the money. He's got all the money. And the truth of the matter is, the guy that was the biggest earner with their bookmaking operation that gave us athletes, you know, an entertainer that we didn't wind up taking on, was his father's guy. And they would throw, you know, they hand him $10,000 at the end of the week. To Ronnie, that was big. He wasn't a big earner. He was a powerhouse of a captain, but not a huge earner. You know, it was known for the Bonnie and Clyde hit. We're going to do a show on that. I'm going to break the Bonnie and Clydes down for you. He's the guy that they robbed the bar, the two guys. He got stabbed 100-something times. He walked, crawled out of the bar and killed one of them. The other one got away. So he was a powerhouse captain throughout all the families. I've seen a lot of respect from a Lucchese acting boss and consigliere for the Genovese family when Al actually had balls one night and abused Vinnie Gorgeous in Rayos. We're going to do that story as well. See, these are stories that I'm going to tell you because they're mine. I was there. I'm not going to tell you somebody else's stories, okay? So when you listen to these guys and you do their timeline, they were in jail. They were working, shoveling shit in construction, but they were having 17 sit-downs with the bosses from Philly, Chicago, and Guam. Get the fuck out of here. You know? So Al was a moneymaker. We used to call him the luckiest guy in the world, right? So his father's name, everybody would pay, right? So the first week, they open up a bookmaking operation. Him and his partner, Tony, they get their balls kicked in. Over 100-something thousand. Now, this is going back to the 90s. You got to remember, it's a long time ago. His partner wants a clothes shop, wants nothing to do with it. I just start hanging with them. They got a nice apartment in Howard Beach. Always did it up good. This is why, you know, a lot. They didn't take a pinch for a long time because things were done right in the right areas. It looked good. So he's like, you sure you don't want to do this anymore? The guy didn't want anything to do with it. He thought there was going to be big problems. He knew there weren't because his father. Somehow, he was reopened that Monday and started the bookmaking operation. And now it all belongs to him. Even though the person that he was partners with at the time knew more about the business, he knew the business, was teaching him about it, now is working for him. So all the money's his. And he's out. All the money's his anyway. I don't care. He straightened out two guys in his crew. Supposedly, he told Gene when he was out on bail, he was going to straighten me out. I heard it three different times. We had a crew that should have been broken up because you can't have a captain, an acting captain, two made guys, a guy who's supposed to be made, and another guy who's told to change his last name and they'll make him. It was insane. But his father was such a powerhouse, and they consider us, our crew, the Princes of the City, a powerhouse. We had it. We had the city. It was ours for the taking. I mean, it was the money, the women, the life. Everything. We were about it. And he went on to turn that bookmaking operation because everybody paid because of his father. And his father had no idea because he wasn't a bookmaker. He wasn't a drug dealer. He was an extortionist. I seen that personally at 8 years old, him extorting stores that weren't Italian that I get into in my book. But he shut down drug dealers because I shook them down for him. He shook down bookmakers because I collected that. So he was known as a powerhouse drug dealer, and a lot of guys are and know nothing about drugs, right? He was known for extortion. Now, extortion is loan money. Now, he only got a piece of whatever. Definitely, Al didn't give him any of that because I collected the loan money. Loan money went out at 3 points, but he didn't know this stuff. So when people say that Ronnie did this, Ronnie did that, it's extortion. The whole thing's extortion. He's extorting drug dealers, bookmakers, Shylocks. I'm not saying the man doesn't know the life. I'm sure he does very well, like in his own mind. I know what he knows because I was with him every day. But to the extent of three-team parlays, a box reverse, things going down like that, no. How many grams are in a kilo? How many pounds are in a kilo? Why is it called a kilo? What's a big eight? No. He definitely ain't telling you any of that. You know, guy, that's what guys like me were for in the streets. So Al went on to do amazing things in the bookmaking operation. So he would take the money and to keep a friend of his around, Michael, who didn't want to be around him every day because we were together all the time, he started a Shylock business. Now, at the same time now, Ronnie G is actually working construction. After 9/11, the buildings came down. He was working for 79 because I had a 79 book. I was picking up a check, and this guy was working, and he was like, Hootie, I am done. He goes, I'm in this life. I got my thing. I can't, like, he was just, he was going to go out, and he was going to, I know right after 9/11 is when he started making money, because at that point, he was working construction. Maybe he should have stood working construction, but he had his button for a long time, and he used it, and he went out and became a fucking millionaire. This guy went out and earned. Why? Because he had balls. He didn't care if he was taking a dollar from his sister, brother. He was going to get it. It didn't make a difference. And then he had a guy like Gene who didn't give a fuck who he was going to get to go get it for him as well. So you're going to pay either one of those guys. You know what I mean? Now, on our end, no matter who collected on the side that wasn't drugs, they were going to pay because of his father. And then anything that drugs, I had my own reputation in the streets, and that was my role. I won't act like they thought I was anything else. I've heard conversations. I've listened to things that they don't think I've heard. That, you know, I have a use. You know, when you know in the life that someone has used the phrase that you have a use, it means that we keep you around for a reason. Not that they want to clip you, but you can, me, I didn't kick up. But I was in use because I shook down drug dealers. I met with guys that they couldn't meet with. I went off the record when the boss needed things done or somebody taken care of, beaten or spoken to or a word to that couldn't be on record because it was drugs. So, yeah, you know, and Ronnie had that lane to bosses. I mean, we used to, his club was the Consigliere, the family's club, my whole life. So I've seen the Consigliere, I mean, four times a week. We broke bread once a week with the boss of the family. So, I mean, this is just the way it was, because if you're with Ronnie One-Arm, that's who you're going to be around. So when people can say, yeah, he thinks he was with Albert Anastasia, I don't think I was with anybody. Go look at the indictments. My name's under every one of them. Go look at the paperwork. It doesn't matter. So with that money, I think it was around, Ronnie starts earning in 2001. So I'm 24, 25. Michael's 25. He gravitates towards Al because Al wants to start the Shylock book. Now, he's got Vinny bringing him for free because he's Al. Ronnie's kid. That's what people used to call him, Ronnie's kid. Hey, Ronnie kid. You know, he hated that after he got his button. A lot of guys got hit with axe handles over that shit. But he was known as Ronnie's kid. And Vinny would bring him Joker Poker and say, I'll give you a percentage every week of what my Joker Pokers did. And it was between $12,000 and $15,000 on Al's end. And one, Al didn't gamble. When he was young, he beat bookmakers with sports to try to make money because he was broke. I got pictures actually of a car when I first met Al, but didn't meet him. Just we met through something over a $500 bet. He was bet with one of the offices that I was working in. And he lost $500, $550 with the VIG. And he pulled up in this old Maxima. And that's what he was driving. And he didn't gamble anymore once he started making the money. He put cash bets in, you know, bet in Vegas, things like that. So now he's got this guy that brings him Joker Poker to be under his name because he's a made guy. This guy's Vinny eventually gets straightened out. And now, but he's locked in. Al's making $12,000 to $15,000 a week just for doing nothing. It's gonna be on. Now he did do something, and that's where Ronnie G's relationship went sour, because somebody opened the place around the corner from Vinny, and they didn't know it was Ronnie G's, because if they did, they definitely wouldn't do what they did, and they went up in there like tough guys and tried to tell the place to go. Mike Palmacio, if I'm not mistaken. And they went up and they're like tough guys, and they ran through the place. I wasn't there. I'm glad I wasn't there because I like those guys, and I probably would have wound up hurting somebody there, and then we would have been enemies, and I'm glad that I wasn't enemies with those guys in that life, because, you know, you live in the same neighborhood and it's good to be with good people. And what happened was Ronnie G finds out. Now, Ronnie G at this point ain't working construction no more. YG's making his money. Started his Shylock book. They just got done making a big real estate move. I mean, it was a big whole big case, and he abused that. Abused them. Him and Michael went at it a little bit. They had a little bit of a relationship. I don't want to really get into what happened with him and Michael. Abused Tony. Abused Al. Not only did he abuse him, he abused him every time he seen him. Grabbed him out of a barber chair. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff where it started to look so bad that I'm part of this crew that I went to Ronnie's house and I had to ask him to leave him alone. And if you just want to call bullshit, go see where any jelly's in and ask him if I didn't go to his house after he came to see me when I came home from prison. He was actually one of the first guys that I seen. I tell everybody that when I came home from prison because I was very good friends with his nephew. And he was one of the first guys to offer me money when I came home from prison. I didn't even know he was doing that good, which I didn't take, but he was, you know. And the problem was nobody respected Mike Palmacio. You know, he would wear his hat backwards. He had a Facebook page that MPG, Mike Palmacio Gangster. Now, I liked Mike a lot. Going out, I see him playing softball. I thought the guy was a nice guy. You know, he was in good shape. Good looking guy. Always drove a nice car. I didn't even know he was involved in the life until I found out he was a wise guy. And because of this, and Gene was always with him when Gene started hanging out with that crew. And Gene always spoke good about him. And when I had a conversations with him, I had nothing, but I ain't got nothing bad to say about the guy today. But I'll abuse him. And, you know, when Al abuses, it's not a good look, you know? So, Ryan G finds out about that, and this is the first time now that $12,000 to $15,000 a week that Al's making for free all this time comes into play, because now you got to step up. Vinny Carwash gets a beating, nothing happens. Al gets abused, nothing happens. Now, that was more on a personal level, because Al always had money, Ronnie didn't. Ronnie knew Al since he was a little kid. So it's kind of like Al looked down on Ronnie because he was made and didn't make money. And Ronnie was, you know, planting his flag. I'm here now. I'm earning. And, you know, when people talk about territories, you know, one was the Banana family, one was the Gambino family. It has nothing to do with that. I keep trying to the places, territory, it's who owns the club, who's the guy. And who's got the girls, who doesn't got the girls. It all entwines into who's with who, not territory. No, if the place itself is a building that somebody owns, a bar, a club, or a restaurant, and that person that owns that business now is with Al, then yes, that territory is Gambino territory, right? So if they jump Vinny's not made yet, but they went into this place. Al's a captain at the time, acting captain. I don't know if he was a full-fledged captain yet, but he was definitely acting captain and making this money off the Joker Pokers all this time. On top of their Tuesday night game, on top of the bookmaking, the houses being built, the money was just insane. They grab another kid, Mike P, and they throw him in the water. Joey, Scopo, I think, Chris, Al, Tony. I don't know if Vinny was there. And, you know, kid Mike winds up, I think he winds up getting straightened out. He wasn't straightened out at the time. And he's a wise guy now. And I don't know him personally. He was an Isle Beach guy. I don't know too many Isle Beach guys. I knew Ronnie. I knew Ronnie was a tough guy. I knew Mike Palmacio. I knew Mike just as a nice guy, you know. I have no dealings with him as being a stand-up guy. I just know one time Al pulled a knife on one and Al abused him that time. But other than that, I know the guy to be a nice guy. But this other guy, supposedly he's a tough guy. You know what I mean? Beat guys up, you know, ran through the neighborhood, ran around, you know, with that thing, and they threw this guy in the water. Now, if he's this guy right before Gene gets there, that's Ronnie's main guy then for that moment. You know, because when Gene comes along, he takes, you know, top spot over everybody. It wasn't even straightened out yet. got held back because if he gets straightened out, if they go on paperwork, then he can't hang out with Ronnie every day. It was a whole big thing. Then Uncle Vin wanted to straighten him out, which is Vinny Asara, that's what we called him. And Ronnie held him back because Ronnie wanted him around every day. So if he gets straightened out, Ronnie's on parole or probation, he'll wind up going on a list. You go on a list when you get your button. They know when you're walking out of the hotel because they stopped straightening guys out in bathroom and basement 50 fucking years ago. They straightened guys out in the fucking Club G fucking hotel. The Marriott. What was the place that I went to pick them up? He had this, the Padre Pio burnt in his hand. The place in Manhattan. Four Seasons. It just closed a few years back. So Gene would have been straightened out 30 seconds later. The Eastern and Southern Districts would have had Gene on a paper this fucking thick with Al Capone, you know what I mean? And then Ronnie couldn't have been with him anymore because he was on parole fighting cases. He was getting into all types of stuff because he was doing big numbers. And that, I mean, those guys were going neck and neck with Ernie. I mean, they were making big fucking money. I mean, we're not talking, you know, I mean, who the fuck knows where it is? I mean, Pablo Escobar had to bury his shit in the jungle. He should have spoke to the Italians because we know how to hide fucking money. Well, I didn't, because my girl took everything. So, I mean, both will claim otherwise. I couldn't bury shit, so there's no money anyway for Hootie. But these Italians know how to hide money. I don't care if there was $1 billion and he had nowhere to put it. He could have came to the Italians. He could have came to Ronnie. Now, they would have sold him how to hide the billion, because I don't know where any of their fucking money went. But they had it. You know what I mean? And this is some real deal shit, because, like I said, on the points, I get a point, Al get a point, Michael get a point. I did the collecting, and Al and Mike put the money up. That's how it went. So they got the point for the money each, and I got the point for collecting. And if they were making 12 to 15,000 a week, Al was making 12 on Joker Poker. If he's making 30,000 a week just on a poker game, we had a game 7 days a week. That was a Texas Hold'em game for legitimate guys. Forget about the social clubs, the stash house, the apartment, the condo. Shit was like, this was some real deal shit, you know? Like, fucking petty operations. And then the bookmaking, which you're talking about. I mean, you can't do the numbers. When you see those numbers, don't get me wrong, the 100 million that they put, when you see guys get pinched for 100 million, that means that guy's making $10 million. The 10% is probably the profit of the guy that runs the joint. You know what I mean? But now, everything's in Costa Rica. My own operation was in Costa Rica. You used to pay $25. You started at $30, then it went to $25, then it went to $23, right? But now, if you knew Bobby the Jew, the guy who started it, God rest his soul, he's dead now. Another Bobby, he $20 ahead. I think I even paid 19, and I only had 50 guys at one point. And I think I only paid like 19, and there would be weeks where he would forget to even call me. He had a cafe in Ridgewood. I would go see him. I dropped the money off. Really nice guy. I knew him since Sandbox days, because he was older than me, but they lived up the block in City Line. So once that went over, you couldn't figure the numbers out. There was no way to figure it out. They didn't have taps on the phone. There were 888 numbers. There were WWWs on the computer. So these two were earning. They were fucking killing it. And like I said, if he was getting 12 to 15 for the Joker Poker, which that started the war between Ronnie G and Al, which we're going to get further into that in other episodes. And then he's making 30 on a Tuesday night game. And then the other games he would throw, you know, Jello the Driver, you know, Tony was tough guy, used to protect him and fight, except when, you know, we all went at it in fucking Blue Zoo one night. That's another story. Michael, who everybody loved. I don't know how he feels about me today. I talk about it all the time, but I got nothing but love for Michael. I'm hoping he's not in life anymore, because he could do so many other things, and he's such a good guy. The fucking Gambino family loved him. The hierarchy loved him. The bosses wanted to be around him. He was the regular guy, you know, and the other families loved him. The Lucchese family, the Bananos, the Genovese, the fucking Colombos, street gang, loved him. You know what I mean? Like, so he had that kind of personality. Al had boss material. Al was boss material. And with me on his back and Tony and the crew that we had, he would have went right to the top. These guys that you read about today on Gangland or in the newspaper with their nicknames, we gave half these guys their nicknames. Okay? The Curtis Silway shooting, you know? The beef in jail where they fought with the Albanians, Mikey White, Vito Guzzo, Michael, with Fat Vito, not Vito Guzzo, Fat Vito from Ridgewood, who I heard is a wise guy now. Vito Love, which is fucking insane. I can't, it's like out of my fucking mind. I walked into a restaurant the other day because I knew he owned it. He was at the counter. I think I passed it a few times at this fucking dweeb kid from out there. And I finally walked in the place that I had to because he left my ex-friend in a fight that he should have never did. And then he got straightened out and he looked like he'd seen a ghost. But I couldn't even bring myself to buy a slice of pizza. Even if he would offer it to me for free, I couldn't eat it. And I walked out. But we'll get into those stories on the Ozone Park Chronicles. And for this episode, you know, the yearning. Without the drugs. That's what this is about, you know. And we'll get more into the Alphonse and Ronnie G wars. All right? Stay up.